Alrighty. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'll probably hum along fairly quickly, try not to talk super fast, but I'm not faster than normal. So let's go to Genesis 1 and we're going to read verse 5. Actually, verse 3, I'm sorry. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw light was good, and God separated light from the darkness. He called light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening, there was morning, a one day. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, great God, our Father in heaven, Father God, we are just excited to have this opportunity to look into the Scriptures, to be encouraged by the words that are in there, Father God. I thank you for the dedication of the saints to put spiritual things a priority. That's what we have to do to get through this life, Father God. To be, as Mr. Ferguson said, be focused on spiritual things, and that takes commitment and dedication, Father God. I thank you. The saints here are dedicated, Father. May the time tonight, may my words be encouraging, Father God, and may this just be a time for building up the saints to go and just take this world for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Light. It's a very interesting phenomenon, light is in this world. You know what? You really can't see light. You know, we can't see light. What we can see is the effects of light. Light consists of a spectrum of frequencies. Each frequency actually represents a different color. So when you see a color, the color of the object is not really that color. That's the one frequency of the light that is reflected by it. You know, so when you see something, it's you know, that's the one frequency that gets reflected back to your eyes, and you're able to see. So you see that color, but you can't actually see light per se in its whole spectrum of frequencies. So without light, there is no color, and because there is no color reflected off of an object, like I said, light consists of a different bunch of frequencies. Well, one interesting characteristic of light is that it, you know, they really can't figure this out. It looks like a wave and a particle at the same time. You know, if I understand correctly, when you look at light, it's a wave, but then when you take a snapshot of it, it's a particle. And so that's where, in the quantum mechanics world, it's kind of riled. I've just read a little bit about it, but, you know, it's one of those things that they don't quite understand exactly how it works there. You know, this is a property that you know, is fairly unique to light, and was has only you know, they've attributed to other things, but light is where that whole dual wave theory came from. Einstein, he studied light quite a bit, and also energy. If you look at the equation E equals MC squared, and a lot of us have probably heard that. The C in that equation is the speed of light. It's a constant in the world. And all energy, if you look at it, is actually, or and mass for that matter, is defined by that constant. So light has a direct relationship to the very existence of matter itself. It's been theorized out there, and I think Einstein was the one who theorized it, but then said it was impossible, was that if you could travel faster than the speed of light, you could actually time travel, because you could actually get in front of something that before it actually happened. Like, say, Einstein was, he theorized some of this, and he basically said, well, that's the world speed limit, or the universal speed limit. You can't go faster than the speed of light. One thing that's interesting to note is that God is not bound by time, so God can obviously time travel. Time is the speed of light, and the Scripture says that God is light. See a connection there? We'll kind of hit a little bit of that later on. You know, but these are some of the characteristics of light. Light plays a major function in the world that we interact with. In our opening verse, the first thing that God said or brought into existence was light. Why? Because without light, there's nothing. What do you have without light? You have darkness. You can't see anything. You have no clue what's around you. Jump to Ephesians 5:13. Ephesians 5:13. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Without light, you have nothing. You have darkness. You have blackness. You know, light makes all things visible. It's going to hang on to that. We're going to actually come back to it later on, hanging on to that idea. But let's look at a biblical passage dealing with light. Jump to Judges chapter 7. Judges Judges chapter 7, we're going to read 16 through 23. I'm kind of picking it up here. This is Gideon. There's been a few messages I've heard lately on Gideon, and great messages. This is the tail end of his conquest of the enemy. Gideon here divided the 300 men into three companies. He put the trumpets and empty pitchers in the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around camp and say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they just posted the watch. They blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands. And for blowing cried, "A sword for the Lord and Gideon." Each stood in his place around the camp. All the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And they fled as far as Beth Shittah, towards there, as far as the edge of Abel Methah. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. So we pick up the story here of Gideon and the deliverance of Israel. God had narrowed Gideon's army down to just 300 men. The Midianite army numbered, they said it in verse 12, as many as are the locusts. So the Israel was outnumbered here, hands down. They were outnumbered. Gideon had started out with thousands, but God had narrowed it down to only 300 men according to his plan. So the battle plan for Gideon and his army of 300 men was to surround the Midianite camp. Each soldier kept a torch, basically, inside of a large pitcher, and they were surrounded the camp. Then they smashed those pitchers, revealing the light inside. The Midianites realized that they were surrounded. It caused the chaos, which ultimately gave the victory for Israel. And I'm sure it was quite a shock when the Midianites woke up in the middle of the night to this loud sound and all of a sudden a blazing light all around them. You know, it probably threw them off guard a little. Their camp went into confusion, and they basically started taking out each other. They didn't know what to do. It was so much chaos. Keeping the torches in the pitchers allowed Israel to surround the camp in secrecy and all strike together. A couple of things about light is even though they were lit in the pitchers, they didn't do any good. The light only really came into effect once the light was released from the pitchers. Why? Because the light's concealed. Light concealed really is kind of useless. It still sits inside the pitchers and glows, but its purpose really wasn't to be concealed by a pitcher. The purpose of the light was to be exposed and to ultimately cause confusion for the army, a Midianite army. Light was not created to be concealed. Light was created by God to illumine things, just even in ourselves. What's light for? Turn on the light to get rid of the darkness. Light was created so that we could see. One thing to notice here with Gideon in the Bible is the light has a cumulative effect. What if Gideon had been the only one breaking his pitcher and putting up his torch? You think the Midianite army would have been quite as scared? No. It was the 300 men all around who all did it at the same time. That impact of light, light has a cumulative effect. The more light you get there, the more of an effect you have. We turn off and only have one light in here. Who's ever under that light would probably be okay. The rest of us wouldn't be able to see as well. Light has a cumulative effect. Only when the 300 pitchers were broke, exposing all their lights together, was the Midianite army thrown into confusion. 300 lights shining together. That was God's plan, and that was what worked. Another powerful... So light was created so to see things. It might seem... But that's what it's for. Light, God has given us light so that we can see. Another powerful characteristic of light is that it transforms. Light has power, even in the physical sense. A guy that we work with, he has solar panels up on his house. He can run his house off of solar panels. Why? Light has energy. Light from a physical sense has energy inside of it. Light has heat. If you doubt it, spend the day in the sun. You know, get sunburned. You know, something happens. You know, you get red. That energy goes into your skin, and you know later on you can feel that energy coming back out of your skin. Light has power. It takes power to make light. You know, your flashlight. What happens when the batteries die? No more light. You know, light takes power, but light creates energy, which is power. I really have no clue how it works, but photosynthesis is the process of plants taking in sunlight and using that energy that is given to them through the sunlight to grow. You know, this is true in the physical realm, but this is even more so true in the spiritual realm. Jump to Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and 29 through 35. It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tabs of testimony were with him, he was coming down the mountain, that Moses did not know the skin of his face was shown because of his speaking with him, God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come near. Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord had spoken to him in Mount Sinai. When Moses was finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in to speak before the Lord, he would take off the veil until he came out. Whenever he came and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, the skin of Moses' face shone. Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. God's light has power to change as well. You know, John 1:5 says, God is light. You know, God is light, God is energy. Light transforms, energy transforms, God light transforms. God gives us a spiritual or physical picture here in Exodus to communicate a spiritual concept. Light transmits energy to that which it shines on. That is in a physical sense, and we see here with Moses, it's in a spiritual sense as well. Moses sees the light of God. That energy from God causes his face to shine from a physical sense. Light is a transforming agent. That's because it has power. That's because it has energy, spiritual and physical. God is light, which is an interesting statement if you look at it. Light is energy. Light transforms. Light takes that which is in darkness and brings it into light. Like I say, holds true in the physical, but even more so in the spiritual. Go back to what we started on the first day. God brought forth light. Without the light, this world is nothing. That goes from a physical, definitely. Can you have plants without light? No. Can you have us without light? You know, if we don't have light, vitamin D, we die. You know, if we don't have light, what happens? This world freezes because of the energy from the physical sense from the sun. Why did God start with light? He had to. Light's where it starts. And God is light. You know, and like I say on that first verse, let's go back there to Genesis 1:3 real quick. This was something interesting I was looking at. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You notice here, and I don't know, I'm be curious, some of you guys who are know Hebrew real well, did God create the light, or did God just bring in the light? Because this light that we're looking here at here is not the sun. That comes on day 4. You know, so this light is not sunlight. This is the light. And who is the light? God is light. So, did God create the light, or has the light always been there? And God took this world that He created and then said, exposed Himself to it and brought forth the true light. Interesting thing to think about. You know, He took that which He had spoken into existence and brought forth His presence in it. You know, light is power, light enlightens, and it fills up. That which is it is brought into. Which takes me to my next point. Which has more power, light or darkness? Light. Why? Does darkness have any power? No. No, you don't get dark burnt. You get sunburnt. It doesn't work that way, you know. Actually, darkness is the absence of power. Darkness is the absence of light. If light has energy and darkness is the opposite of light, then darkness would be the absence of energy. And that's exactly what darkness is. Darkness only has power when there is no light. You know, darkness can only exist when there is light. Darkness flees when light comes into play. When light is around, light always wins. Darkness cannot overpower light because, again, darkness is the absence of light. How do you get darkness? Physically, you turn off the light. Flip off the light. What do you get? You get darkness. Let's go back to a verse we looked at earlier, Ephesians 5, 13 and 14. We read 13, we'll read that and 14. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. What is death usually characterized as? Death, yeah. And darkness. A lot of times when you think about death, at least from a physical sense, think of darkness. You know, the lights are out. You know, most people do not like the dark. You know, so the statement here is that Christ will shine on you indicates that the individual that is getting shone onto, that is needing the light, is in darkness. All mankind is in darkness. You know, what man does, he wants to do in darkness. The world hides their lies and their deception and immorality in darkness. Let's go up a few verses. We're going to read verses 6 through 12 here in Ephesians. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which I've done by them in secret. You know, we see here, it says, expose them. Deeds of darkness. You know, the world is in darkness. Again, how do you get darkness? You turn off the light. That happens in the physical, but it also happens in the spiritual. You take the light out of the world, you get darkness. You take the light, the spiritual light out of the world, what do you get? You get darkness. This world has done their best to turn off any influence of godliness in the world. You look at the schools, you look at politics, you look at the media, and they have tried, and I'll actually have to say pretty successfully, to rip God out of every piece of this world around us. How's that turned out? Is the world more moral today than it was 20 years ago? 50 years ago? Are we getting more moral or less moral? No, it's getting more immoral. And why is that? Darkness. Darkness. You remove the light, you always will get darkness over and over again. That happens in the physical, that happens in the spiritual. The world is full of deeds of darkness. You know, when do the bars open? Well, it depends. I work by the rainbow, so I'll you know. But for the most part, when do they hit the bars? At night. You know, why? They like the darkness. Deeds of darkness. You know, that's where all that a lot of that immorality happens. You know, darkness. The world is full of the deeds of darkness. And what is the church supposed to do, according to there in Ephesians? It's supposed to expose them. Well, how do you expose the darkness? Turn on the light. You got to turn on the light. You got to bring the light in there. The light will, and who wins in light and darkness? Light always wins every single time. The only time darkness wins is if there's no light. You know what's happening in this world? There's no light. You know, the only way to overcome this darkness is to expose it. What's the light switch? It's probably in your hand. It's your Bible. You know, that is the only light that will work in this world around us. You drop back to Gideon. What was the purpose of the light? What was the purpose of the light inside those pitchers? It was to expose, you know, to shine, and to scare the Midianite army, to throw them in confusion. You know, when did the light come into effect? When it was in the pitcher or out of the pitcher? Out of the pitcher. When is the scriptures going to be effective? You know, sitting on your shelf or sitting across the table with somebody? Sitting across the table with somebody, you know, going through it. The scripture has no power when it's closed up. And the power of the scripture is when the light is exposed. You know, same thing with the pictures. The light only had power when it's exposed. Why? That's what's going to change this world, is bringing the light out. The purpose of light is to shine. Jump to Ephesians. We're still there in Ephesians 5:8. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, that's what you are. You are light. And you're the only light in this world. Let me tell you. I mean, it is a train wreck of a world out there. You see it day in and day out. Now it says, walk as children of light. What does that mean? That means we have to be practicing these things. Walk as children of light. What should people see in us? They should see goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the same message that is preached throughout the New Testament. It's basically saying this stuff has to actually turn into performance in our lives. You know, we have been given salvation, but eventually it's got to turn. It says walk as children of light. That means it shouldn't. Am I walking as a children of light if I'm a black-hearted sinner? No. As a hypocrite? No. No, it's the same thing. This has to actually translate into action in our life. You were created for a purpose. God transformed you to actually do something. You know, He made you light. You know, is a light bulb any good if you never turn it on? No, it's never done anything. You know, if we're a light bulb, do we do anything if we never shine? No. It's got to actually turn into action in our life. The purpose for you and I is to be an example of Christ to shine in the world around us. I cannot be an example of light if I am in darkness. The message of the new creation is attended to and needs to turn into performance. If it doesn't, then something's wrong. If I'm a light and I do not shine, one of two things happen. Either I am putting the light out, or something happened and I'm not really light. You know, as to not actually being light, you know, that can happen. You know, basically don't, it's a scriptural plan of salvation, you're not immersed, don't have the Holy Spirit. That happens. But not as much. Most of us here, you know, follow the plan of salvation, and we are lights. But does that mean we're shining? No, we can snuff it out ourselves. You know, we can take and our light and stuff it in a pitcher. Jump to Luke 11:34. The eye is the lamp of your body. Actually, 33, I'm sorry. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. You know, we can take the light, and you can put it, hide it in a cellar, put it under a basket. You know, we have been made a light to shine. God lit you up. Now, where are you? Are you on the lampstand? Or if you're taking your light, do you hide it? You only bring it out on Sundays and Wednesdays when you're around other Christians. No, I mean, that's not really that is a great time to shine, don't get me wrong. But it's also, you know, the darkness is what's outside of this building, not what's inside of this building. And that's where you're really supposed to shine. You know, that's where I'm supposed to shine. I'm preaching this to myself just as much as anybody else. You know, that's really where we need to shine. That's where our lampstands can really shine. When does the light shine brightest? In the darkness. You know, the more darkness you get around it, the brighter the light is. You know, that we really have an opportunity in the world to shine for Christ. But we got to take that light out. We got to bust it out of those pictures so everybody can see it. You were made for light. And remember, light has a purpose. Light's only purpose is to cut through darkness. That's really what it's for. Spiritually, that's what you were created for. You are light. Walk as children of light and cut through that darkness. You've got everything you need. It's in the scriptures. Let's close with 2 Corinthians 4:6. For the God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It took a lot of power to put this world in motion. And God did it through speaking it. You know, it took just as much power to make you light. You know, the same God who did that is the same God who made you light. So, do you have everything you need to go out there and be that light? Yeah, you do. You know, at least God says you do. This is the verse we started with when I started this message. God brought forth the world through His spoken word. He brought forth light into darkness. He's done the same thing for you and me. Light in the physical sense has a purpose. You know, its purpose is to shine. Its purpose is to guide. You know, light is energy. Light has a purpose in the spiritual sense as well. And that's what He's done with you and me. He's made us lights to shine in this world. We know Christ through His Word. And now He has made you a light to spread that same Word to others. He's shown in your hearts. His Spirit now indwells you. Now that you are light, it's our turn to go out and do something with it. What are we going to do? Are we going to hide that light, or are we going to shine that light? Is the light going to stay in the picture, or is it going to get broken out for everyone to see? You were created to shine. So I encourage you, go out, do so, spread the light, because that's the only thing that's really going to help this world, is the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks.